When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
What's good, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, dudes and dudettes? He is Chad Brown and Freddie coming in for Mike Greenberg. Thanks for joining us on Greeny on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. We want to hear from you at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It happened to the Philadelphia 76ers, a devastating loss in Game 2. It happened to the Los Angeles Lakers, a devastating loss in Game 2. The Lakers had a 20-point lead. They lose at the buzzer to Jamal Murray and the Denver Nuggets. Philadelphia, they had a 5-point lead with less than a minute to play. The Knicks scored 8 points in 27 seconds. Both of those teams down 0-2 in their series, but which Game 2 loss was more devastating? Philadelphia 76ers, that's what I believe, or the Los Angeles Lakers, that's what Chad Brown believes. We'll take your calls at 888-729-3776. And Chad, I love what you said about, as much as we have had the conversation, the devastation for the Lakers and their fan base and the Sixers and their fan base, the way they lost Game 2. We should be giving a lot more credit to a gritty Knicks team that found a way, inconsistent officiating notwithstanding, and a Denver Nuggets team. Talk about grit and grime and being gully, down by 20 points in the third quarter, and they came all the way back and won that game at the buzzer, courtesy of Jamal Murray.
Absolutely. The ability to finish, I think, is one of the most underrated things for either an individual or a team in all sports. When the moments are the most critical, that's when you need your best players to step up. When the moments are the most critical, you need your players to be the coolest and calmest in those moments. Mm-hmm. And for both those teams last night, both winning teams, for the Knicks and the Nuggets, they found a way to finish. And for the Lakers and for the Knicks, they found a way to make mistakes in those critical moments. Mm-hmm. And that's what determines most basketball games, particularly playoff basketball games. It's rare there's going to be some 20-point blowout. The teams are fairly evenly matched. It's going to come down to the last possession or two and your ability to excel in those moments. So for Jamal Murray to have the confidence instilled in him from Michael Malone that we're going to trust you in this critical moment, and for him to go out there and just let it fly, even with a 7-footer in his face, mm-hmm. to be able to let it fly, that speaks to that ability to finish. And that's not just something that is done in the huddle on the sideline right before that happens. Mm-hmm. That is a years-long process to learn how to finish, to be put in those situations in games and practices, to have the coach instill that confidence in you so you can go out there and perform in the most critical of moments and give it your absolute best shot.
Let's get to the skinny of what you just said. The Lakers had a 12-point lead in Game 1 and a 20-point lead in Game 2 and didn't win both of those games. The Philadelphia 76ers had an 11-point lead in Game 1. They had a double-digit lead again in Game 2 early. They had a 5-point lead in that Game 2 and could not put teams away. You can complain all you want if you're Joel Embiid about the officiating or if you're the Lakers about the officiating. The fact of the matter is both of those teams on the road had double-digit leads and couldn't hold them. So if you're going to point fingers at officiating, you might want to point fingers at two different people. Yourselves, number one, and the guys on the other side get paid, too. We're not talking about a scrub team in the Knicks. They won 50 games in the regular season without Julius Randle, a part of it, who's supposed to be the Robin to the Batman. That's been Jalen Brunson. They've been able to overcome Jalen Brunson going 15-50 from the field so far in the first two games, and other guys have stepped up. Same thing to the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic, he was getting worked over by Anthony Davis in that ball game. Anytime they had the ball go to Anthony Davis the first three quarters, Jokic couldn't stop him. And you made this point, Chad. Then for an inexplicable reason, they decided to not give Anthony Davis the ball in the fourth quarter. The only time he saw the basketball was in somebody else's hands. So if you're going to point fingers and say, we're devastated, but it's the officials' fault, I don't want to hear that crap from the Los Angeles Lakers or the Philadelphia 76ers, because both of you had double-digit leads on the road. You had leads late in Game 2 on the road. If you couldn't finish, That's not an officiating problem. That's a you problem, not the other way around.
Yes. Bill Cowher, my coach with the Pittsburgh Steelers, would say after every tough loss, I'm going to go home and look at the man in the mirror. It starts with me. And, yes, were there some blown calls? Does Joel Embiid have a bit of a point? Does LeBron James have a bit of a point? Yes, they do. I'm not dismissing that. But you've got to put yourself first in those situations and look critically at the things you just talked about. For the Lakers, a 12-point lead in game one, a 20-point lead in game two, and yet you couldn't find ways to finish and get it done. Anthony Davis, not only did you give up the last-second buzzer beater, but you got shut out in the fourth quarter and had 0 points. You've got to look at yourself there in those situations. When you lose games, it's so easy to look around at all these external factors. No, it starts with me. It starts with us first. We've got to find a way to get better. So for these guys to talk about the officiating as leading off their press conferences, I was a bit disappointed in that.
Chad Brown, Freddie, coming in for Mike Greenberg on Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Zeke in Florida, 888-729-3776. Zeke, which game two losses more devastating for who and why? The Philadelphia 76ers to the Knicks or the Lakers to the Denver Nuggets?
Professor, man, it's so good to hear you on the radio this early.
Appreciate
Listen,
you.
Man, this is a gift that I did not know I was going to get today, man. So it feels like an unexpected holiday.
Appreciate
all right,
you.
So I'm happy to hear you, man. I would have to say that it's the 76ers, you know. Like, we already knew what the Lakers were going to get there in this whole series, man. There's a good chance they're probably going to get swept. All right, just to keep it a buck there. But, you know, in my opinion, you know, the 76ers have been having their heart taken, you know, so far this series. And then you got Joel Embiid giving an interview after the game, and this man is pouting. He can't even look at the reporters, man. You know, he got his head down. He's trying to give a strong message, but he's sounding and looking real weak. All right? So, you know, I think that his knee, you know, obviously is, you know, he came back too soon. And he should have taken off the rest of the year, you know, the way that knee's looking. Because, you know, right now I know that the meniscus is healed or whatever, you know, according to the doctors. But, you know, this man is not mentally over the hump. And, you know, clearly he's still having some discomfort there. So, whatever, you know, I think that this man is hurting the team more than anything. And at the end of the game, Matsy should have taken that shot. And other than that, go New York.
Here's something to what Zeke just said. I'm never going to question Joel Embiid's toughness, because enough people in Philadelphia did that when many people believed that the Sixers should have chosen Ben Simmons over him. And I said, you must be out of your rabbit behind mind to take that guy with Joel Embiid. They look really foolish by saying something like that now. And I'm not going to say that Joel Embiid came back too soon. He had the surgery. They were 31-8 in the regular season when he was a part of the lineup. He wasn't the reason that they lost last night, but making excuses along the lines of blaming the officiating, he's got to be better than that. But the fact that he was out there and he was giving it to the Knicks in the first couple of games, he has not been the reason, Chad, in my opinion, why they're down 0-2. That gritty Knick basketball team, they just refuse to lose. And they found a way to make those kind of plays because they've had to do it all year long without Julius Randle and at times out OG Anunoby. And the Sixers didn't realize that before this series. They for damn sure, Chad, know it now about this Knicks team. It's Jalen Brunson and the Brunsonettes. So far, the Brunsonettes have been the better players that lift up Jalen Brunson when he did it all season long in the regular season for New York.
No doubt about that. So when Joel Embiid says last night after the game, we are the better team, okay, maybe we can get into a semantic argument of what the better team is. But right now, the New York Knicks are a better finishing team.
Right.
They're finding ways to play better in critical moments, which has got them ahead in the series 2-0. So you can rest on your better team thought for sure. And maybe on paper, I can give you that.
Yeah.
But in the reality on the court, they're finding ways to finish and your guys are finding ways to fail. They're finding ways to get it done. You're finding ways to complain after the game about the officiating crew. So yeah, we can get into the semantics and differ on the definition of better team. But right now, the Knicks are getting it done and you guys aren't. So the better team in my mind has won the first two games because they know how to finish.
But Joel Embiid's not paying attention to Chad Brown. He believes they're the better team.
We're good. We're going to win this series. Okay. You know, we're going to win this.
Oh, yeah?
We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team,
okay.
And we're going to keep fighting.
Every day more lies. There's no way you've been a better team. There's no way that worse teams are 2-0 leading a series. That doesn't happen. It reminds me of the old King of Queens skit when Doug Heffernan and Deacon finished playing 3 games of racquetball. And Doug says, "You are my B." And Deacon goes, "I beat you 3 straight games." He goes, "But I have more total points." And he goes, "You realize that's impossible. Right now, Joel Embiid is Doug Heffernan to the New York Knicks being Deacon." There's no way you can say that you've been the better basketball team when you've blown double-digit leads and you didn't get it done. If you believe they're a better basketball team than the Knicks has been shown yet, I might buy that. But don't give me the whole, "You can say we're going to win this series." I like the confidence. I love the confidence, Chad Brown, from Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, brother, please, don't go out there and say with a straight face, when, like Deacon Florida said, he couldn't even look up from his hands while talking to the reporters from his locker and say that we're going to win the series because we've been a better team. Even his teammates might not have believed that in the locker room because he didn't even lift up his head from his hands to tell exactly how he felt.
Well, even beyond that, he even said, "That's on the league. That's on the NBA. He's blaming the league and the NBA for this loss. So the disconnection from the reality of the situation on the court, it's – I'm not even a Sixers fan.
Right.
And I'm frustrated by this. So I can imagine if I were a Sixers fan and I were listening to my superstar, who I am expecting to lead us to the promised land, to come away from a now second loss in a row, to find yourselves down 0-2 in a series, and to point the finger at the Shield, at the league, and at the NBA? No, man, turn that hand around, point it back at yourself, bro.
Chad Brown, Freddie Coleman from Mike Greenberg on Greeny on ESPN Radio. Which loss is more devastating when it comes to game 2 last night? I believe it was the 76ers losing to the Knicks. Chad believes it was the Lakers losing to the Nuggets. Wendell in California, 888-729-3776. Which game 2 loss is more devastating, Sixers or Lakers, and why, Wendell?
Both of them. Okay, they lost. When you lose, you lose.
Was that both with, leader, with an F? Both?
Your so-called leader is trying to save face. That's what Embiid's trying to do. But the bottom line is, dude, if you played basketball, instead of crying and looking for excuses, you might have won a game. It's just that simple. As far as LeBron James, I ain't been a fan of his since he's been here in L.A. He's supposed to be a leader. He's deferring to Rui Hachimura and that Austin Reeves dude. You're supposed to lead the team, man, when you're a leader. Michael Jordan and Bill Russell didn't defer. They played, and they won. That's why they won. It's real simple. You either win or you lose. And when you lose and you start looking for excuses, man, move to another city. Go to Chattanooga somewhere and play basketball or baseball, whatever sport it is.
Wendell, are you a Lakers fan, brother?
I've been a Lakers fan all my life, dude. I've been living in L.A. all my life, been a Lakers fan, and I ain't never seen a bunch of Lakers like this. I don't know what kind of why they put them uniforms on. It's really sickening. And as a fan, all we can do is, hey, when your team wins, you're happy. We've had parades here in L.A., man. Nice parade. We ain't had nothing since this dude who came out here from Cleveland. He should have stayed in Cleveland. But Tragic Johnson brought him out here, you know, did that. And then what does he do? He leaves and goes and buys a football team in Washington. And poor Washington, because y'all ain't going to win nothing. As long as he's in part of that team, I feel for you. I feel they could reinvent Joe Montana. They wouldn't win the football games in Washington. Wow. So there you go.
Wendell,
and that's my opinion.
Uh-huh.
I'm a fan. There we go.
Wow. Wendell in California.
Got something to say. I love it, Wendell.
He said it with his chest.
Yes, he did.
With intestines.
Yes.
With knees. With shoulders. You name it.
There may have been a flying elbow in there, too.
I get
like
the
it,
sense
Wendell.
That Wendell uh-huh. is not a big fan of the bubble championship.
Right. He just deep glossed
just
over that
discounted
one.
That.
Cam, yes. That is spot on. If you took a straw poll of hardcore Laker fans like Wendell and ask them about the bubble championship, because to me, a championship is a championship.
Wendell's still here.
Yeah, sure. Hey, Wendell, since he's still yeah. there, Wendell, the Lakers bubble championship, is that a real championship to you or not?
Yeah, if we have another pandemic tomorrow, we have a pandemic, we win again.
Wow.
He was the 13th man that year for him. Come on, man. When the playing field is level, you play a full season like every season basically has been. And you win it, then you win it. When you lose it, and the first thing you come up with these excuses, I don't want to hear no excuses. That don't make no sense. and the money we have to pay to go to these games, to watch these highly paid, they deserve to be highly paid guys, because I'm 72 years old. I can't get out on that court and play no basketball like these guys. But we enjoy watching them, because we enjoy the sport. We enjoy baseball. We enjoy basketball. We enjoy football. But when we watch these guys, and then when they lose, I got an excuse, man. My knees hurt. When your knees hurt, you got the best doctor in the world. Don't play.
Oh, man.
What happens when they don't play? Don't nobody say nothing.
Wendell does not sound like he's 72.
No, not at all.
Wendell
sounds like he's 32. Seriously.
That was my first thought. I was like, wow, you sound great, man.
Put it this way. Wendell, whatever you look like, I guarantee you, man, God has taken care of you, because there's no way you sound like you were 72 years of age. But you can't make excuses, in my opinion, if you're the Sixers having a double-digit lead, and if you're the Lakers having a 20-point lead, Chad, and the guy that was a main reason why he had a double-digit lead and a 20-point lead in the third quarter, he only shot the ball one time in the fourth quarter, Anthony Davis.
What happened to saying, you know what, we didn't get it done? We've got to go back and collect ourselves. We've got to find a way to be better.
Yeah.
I've got to find a way to be better. You know, here are some mistakes I made in this game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go back and I'm going to correct those. I still think we got a chance to win this series.
Right.
And keep it moving. Keep it stepping after that. But there's just always this desire to find something external to ourselves. We got to find a way, as professional athletes, to get away from this finger-pointing thing.
Yeah.
And just, hey, they were the better team tonight. They got it down. They found a way to finish.
Yeah.
We did not excel in the most critical moments of the game. They did. Tip of the cap to them. I'm going to be better next time out there.
That's so 20th century. That's
what
they did in the
21st century. I'm sorry. Am I dating myself?
So 20th century.
Oh, my bad. My bad. I'm sorry.
It's wonderful you feel that way, but that's so 20th century when it comes to this day and age, Chad Brown. But, you know,
come on.
Keep the faith, brother, as far as that goes. Don't forget about the NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. Tonight, the Minnesota Timberwolves, host the Phoenix Suns. The Timberwolves leave that series 1-0, presented by Indeed. So join the coverage that begins at 7 p.m. Eastern time on most ESPN radio stations, and also on Sirius XM Channel 80 from the We Know This Now So You department. 10th time in LeBron James' career that his team has trailed 2-0 in the best of seven series. The first time it's happened in the first round. He's come back to win three of them, tied for the most of any player in NBA history. The 76ers, they're 0-14. They've fallen behind 0-2 in the best of seven series in the playoffs. In other words, he's Chad Brown of Freddie coming in for Mike Greenberg. Thanks for joining us on Greeny. And we go back to the National Football League. One active coach has that shot to be the all-time wins lead in history in the NFL, but it's not Bill Belichick. We'll tell who that is next on Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Shopping for Mother's Day is usually a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. Whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement, Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by category like fragrance, handbags, and more, or gift lists like for the mom who has everything, pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, and Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day is May 12th. It'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder.
Greeny, the podcast.
He's Chad Brown. I'm Freddie Coleman, and for Mike Greenberg. Thanks for joining us on Greeny on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us on TuneIn and always tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Wait until you hear what Chad Brown went through in the NFL. Is in the same situation that Anthony Davis went through in the Lakers' loss last night to the Denver Nuggets. That comes your way in about a couple of minutes. But you still want to weigh in at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, about which loss was more devastating. How the Sixers lost to the Knicks, 104-101, down 2-0 in that series, after having a five-point lead with less than a minute to play, but the Knicks scored 8 points in 27 seconds. Or the Denver Nuggets, how they beat the Los Angeles Lakers. Lakers had a 20-point lead. The Nuggets went at 101-99. Chad believes more devastating loss for the Lakers. I believe more devastating loss for the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's hear what you have to say at 888-729-3776. Let's go to the home of James Brown. That is Augusta, Georgia. Also the home of Tony. Tony, where do you stand and why about who had a more devastating loss between the Lakers and the Sixers last night?
Hot sauce Freddy.
What's up, brother?
My man. Definitely the Lakers. Because they were ahead in the third quarter and dominating, and then they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, simple right. Explanation. I like it. Succinct. My man Tony's succinct with his words. Keep it tight.
But Tony, a little birdie told me that you got an issue with Wendell, who we have from California, just getting on his Lakers. You got an issue with him.
Yeah, man. To me, he ain't no Lakers fan. He might live in L.A., but he ain't no Lakers fan. Didn't even sound like he watched the game last night.
So what was wrong? What was wrong with his analysis then, Tony? What was wrong with his analysis?
First of all, he didn't acknowledge the bubble championship. I mean, everybody in the league had a chance for it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't understand why people have a problem with the bubble. I know you don't.
No.
But I know a lot of people do. That's it.
Okay, Tony DeGusta, he keeps it nice and short and sweet. By the way, I have relatives. Exactly. Oh, I have relatives that live not too far away on the South Carolina side of things, so I know that Augusta, Georgia area pretty darn well. But last night when that happened with the Lakers, and I love what Jamal Murray, after the game was over, he said, I didn't even see the game-winning shot. Anthony Davis, he said, I think Anthony Davis in front of me. I just shot it over him, hope for the best, and then I heard the crowd yelling, and I said, oh, that shot must have gone in. And poor Anthony Davis, after challenging the shot, falls close to the Nuggets bench, almost became part of a dog pile. He had to try to extricate himself out of that. He was able to, and then had to take that loss back to the locker room. You have sort of a similar situation that happened to you involving a big moment in which you almost got trampled by the opposing team on their sideline.
Yeah, so unlike Anthony Davis, who looked like he was in a Life Alert commercial, like he had fallen, he couldn't get back up after he stumbled over Jamal Murray onto the Nuggets bench. In my case, Terrell Davis, last game of the season, my Seahawks going against the Denver Broncos. Broncos are going for their second Super Bowl right there in the 98 season. And TD was trying to get to 2,000 yards. And we as Seahawks, we knew the playoffs were not going to be a part of our picture. We wanted to hold him under 2,000 yards. We didn't mm-hmm. want the fireworks and celebration while we were trying to stop him.
Right.
It was clear the Broncos were determined to get him his 2,000 yards. They were running away from me all game. Our starting outside linebacker on the other side was banged up, couldn't play. So they were running the opposite of me all game long.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth quarter, particular run, they run opposite me again. I'm on the left side of the field. They're running down the right sideline. I chased Terrell Davis.
Right.
Finally, after about a 20-plus yard gain, blast him on the sideline. I give him a great shot. So unlike Anthony Davis, I don't stumble onto the bench. I fall on top of Terrell Davis. Uh-huh. As soon as we hit the ground, you can hear the fireworks go off, and about seven Bronco players snatch me off of Terrell Davis and throw me into the air. And one of them says, as I'm in the air, mm-hmm. get out of here, punk. And I'm kind of stumbling, staggering on the Broncos sideline as uh-huh. the entire Broncos team is celebrating
right.
with TD for getting 2,000 yards. And so that moment, which has been replayed on NFL films literally ad nauseum, I am a part of that moment. I make the tackle, and then you can see me getting punked and deboed
right.
by half of the Broncos sideline.
Good Lord.
To get off of this dude. Get out of here, kid. I was like, why? Why did I have to cross the field and make this tackle? Why will this moment live in infamy in my career forever?
You know the part about that is we have evil people behind the scenes. that are probably working on as we speak trying to find this video.
It's not hard to find. We don't need a super internet sleuth to pull this up. If you're listening to this show, Terrell Davis, 2,000 yards, just punch it in. You will see me getting pushed and shoved around on the Broncos sideline and told to get out of there. Get out of here, punk. We're celebrating.
Was Mark Schlereth one of the people doing that? Because I would not put that past Mark Schlereth. I would not put that past him.
I think Mark was on. He was probably still on the field, you know, wave pumping his fist or something like that. It was the Broncos sideline who treated me so poorly. Mark and I are now friends.
Yes.
Hopefully he wouldn't have done that to me back then. But
yes,
yes, that's my AD moment of being in the wrong place at the wrong time as the celebration is happening.
That's got to be the worst thing ever for you when it happened that day and for Anthony Davis last night. It's one thing to lose a game and you lose it that way and you were the primary defender against Jamal Murray, and then you have to be among all that mass of humanity celebrating, and you're literally inches away from that celebration. That's why he looks so salty in the postgame. Usually Anthony Davis can be very profound. You ask him a question, he gives you an answer. Man, he looked like that was the last place he wanted to be. He was like, man, I played 10 minutes in this damn quarter. Mm-hmm. I was killing Nikola Jokic for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. Only get one shot in the fourth quarter. We have a 20-point lead in the third quarter. We don't win the game. And then Jamal Murray, who was garbage the first three quarters, then he lights us up in the fourth quarter, and he has the game-winning shot over me. That's why he looks so salty in the postgame. When somebody said, can you explain what happened on that last play defending Jamal Murray? He made the shot, dropped the mic, and walked right off. And I've never seen that from Anthony Davis. But I get it. I get where you were coming from, where you were determined not to let this happen, then it happens, and all of a sudden they're throwing you like they're throwing somebody at a club at the end of the night, like some bouncer's got a hold of you or something like that.
Exactly. That's exactly how it felt, us being thrown out of the club. The club of celebration for Terrell Davis getting 2,000 yards, the celebration for Jamal Murray with the awesome step back over AD, and he's got to be on the bench literally trying to gather himself and get out of this celebratory moment.
Right.
It's crushing. So if I were part of the press conference after that Seahawks-Broncos game and TD got 2,000 yards, I would have been as succinct as my man Tony with my words, because I don't have a whole lot to say here, man. My feelings are hurt.
I'm getting the mental image right now of you in that sidelines, just seeing that. So at a certain point, I'm going to pull up the video on YouTube and have to take a look at that. But please, I'm getting a video image
Bubba
right
is
now.
Watching it right now.
Oh, he is?
I give him a great shot.
It's a good tackle.
I blast him.
Great
tackle. Really, it's a super physical tackle. I was
knocks him out of bounds and everything.
Yeah, but it's but it's a Pyrrhic victory, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Great hit for me. 2,000 yards for thee. The celebration still goes the other way. Yes. Now here's the crazy part. That wasn't a touchdown run.
Right.
He was out the game, and they were celebrating. Uh-huh. I had to go back on the field and play defense the next play.
Oh man, jeez. Bubba's infatuated with this video right now. I don't think Bubba has looked up ever since he decided to pull up that video involving Utah. I think he's giving commentary to Cam Pratt right now, our other producer.
Yeah, we're getting the play-by-play of a great tackle by Chad Brown. Nothing else happened on this play of significance. Just a great tackle by Chad.
It was a great tackle. Thank you.
It was. Hey, let the facts be told as far as that goes. Don't let that get in the way of a great story. Chad Brown, Freddie Coleman, in for Mike Greenberg on Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app presented by Progressive Insurance. We stay with the National Football League, and this news came down earlier today. Andy Reid, the head coach of the Chiefs, Brett Veach, the general manager, and also Mark Donovan got extensions. Mark Donovan, the president of his team, they get extensions. And now Andy Reid, we can start having that conversation. Don Shula, the all-time wins leader, 328. George Halas, Papa Bear Halas, longtime coach and general manager of Chicago Bears, 318. Bill Belichick won't be in the NFL this year in a coaching capacity, 302. And Andy Reid, at 66 years of age, has 258. I don't know if it's going to be a certainty that Bill Belichick will be back in the National Football League next year. I mean, I would like to believe so, but then again, I know how the NFL can be. When they decide to move on from you, you stay moved on from. I've seen that with players, and I've seen that with coaches. Look at Andy Reid, and he's got number 15 in white and red. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. You got a general manager and a scouting department that right now is top-notch in the National Football League. We may have to start having that conversation if this continues another 4 to 5 years, that Andy Reid could be on that path, Chad Brown, to be the most winningest coach in the history of the National Football League.
He needs 70 wins to pass Don Shula. And he's averaging 12.5 roughly wins with him and Patrick Mahomes being together. You kick that down the road 6 years, that's 65 wins. So it certainly feels possible to be 66 years old to coach until you're 72, 73 and get that. In the end, the ability for a coach to coach football, their X's and O's acumen doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Their ability to draw up game plans doesn't go away. It's always going to be about your ability to relate to players. And Andy Reid may be 66 years old, but I think he relates to younger players clearly in a much better way than Bill Belichick has been able to do the last couple of years.
Sure.
The Bill Belichick style and system with these players coming out of college with millions of dollars in their pockets due to NIL and transfer rules and their ability to move on when things don't go their way, the Patriot way doesn't quite fit within today's athlete. Mm-hmm. And we saw those results the last couple of years with Bill Belichick versus Andy Reid, who seems to be loved and embraced and connects with his players in a way that Bill Belichick simply didn't. So I give Andy Reid a much better shot of surpassing Don Shula than I do Bill Belichick, who I still think is the greatest football coach of all time.
Right.
And I was a part of that Patriots organization, and I still hold him in that incredibly high regard. But the shift of players, their mindsets, what they expect from a coach has been rapid, has been sudden. And I'm not sure if Bill's style is adaptable to today's players.
It's funny you mention that because, like you mentioned, you played for him in New England in 2005 and 2007. And even though he was never Mr. Warm and Fuzzy, Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky with players, there is that reverence that people are going to have playing for a guy like that with his football acumen. Andy Reid is different. I've lost count how many players that used to play for Kansas City that have gone to other places that don't have a bad word to say about Andy Reid. Tyreek Hill literally bear hugged him when they played against each other with the Miami Dolphins over in Germany and even before the playoff game that happened, because that's the kind of respect and love people still have for Andy Reid. When they won this last Super Bowl, their third championship in 5 years, just seeing the players' reaction to him, because they know that they know good when they see it. And you understand this, Chad. You know good when you're around it. No one's faking good and getting away with it. There's nothing fake about Andy Reid, and he's gone through some personal stuff off the football field involving his family. But at the same time, you can never, ever look at him and say, guys will not want to play hard for him just because he's a coach. Guys want to play hard for Andy Reid because of the person that he is behind that coaching acumen. And I can't even imagine what that must be like when you have somebody like that who has a championship pedigree, and he's built that championship pedigree in the players, and yet that love knows no bounds involving him and the rest of the football team in Kansas City.
Some of the best coaches I've been around, maybe we're not always the best X's and O's guy, but I don't think anybody could dispute Andy Reid's X's and O's ability. It's their ability to relate to you and draw the best out of you. So Andy Reid has the X's and O's and play calling in spades, but he's also got that incredible relatability. I bumped into Andy Reid a couple years ago at a Senior Bowl, and the first thing he said to me is, Chad Brown, I'm so happy to see you. And he told me a story when he was coaching at UTEP. When he was coaching at UTEP, and they came to my house to try to recruit me to UTEP. He's like, if it wasn't for you screwing up that recruiting visit, because I had two teams come at the same time, then I probably would have still been at UTEP. I wouldn't have moved on to Missouri and then BYU and then gotten them into the NFL. So thank you for all my success, Chad Brown. And I was like, that was a great way to tell the story. Now, clearly he was joking. He was being, he was being a little facetious. But I was like, wow, you remember that all the way from 1988.
That's amazing.
Coming to my parents' house in Altadena. You've coached thousands of players since then, and you instantly recall that story to give it to me, just bumping to me in the halls at the Senior Bowl. So that's the kind of relatability factor he has. That's the kind of memory and connection to players that he has. And I instantly remember seeing him in my parents' driveway, but I did not recall that being Andy Reid of Philadelphia Eagles and Kansas City Chiefs fame.
Right.
It was just another coach recruiting me back then. And I was like, wow, that was Andy Reid. Oh, my goodness. How crazy is that?
That is amazing, especially when it goes to what you have to say about his, the way he relates to people, because you know all the kerfuffle that they were throwing at Travis Kelce when they had, he bumped Andy Reid when the ball wasn't coming his way in the first half of the Super Bowl, and people said, oh, Travis Kelce should have been thrown out of the game, and Andy Reid should have sat him down. I said, dude, you don't realize exactly that Travis Kelce is the kind of guy that Andy Reid is always going to fight for. And he understands exactly in that heat of the moment, there was no reason to berate a player or sit a player down. Especially when you need a player like that to Travis Kelce. But Andy Reid, with that relatability, once Travis Kelce calmed down, we saw Travis Kelce did the rest of that football game. Andy Reid said, relax, we're going to get you the football. I know you're upset about it, but he didn't make it adversarial. It was a coaching, teaching moment where so many people felt that Travis Kelce should have been tossed. Andy Reid was not going to do something like that. It goes back to relatability with him.
It does, and understanding who your players are. Travis Kelce is a passionate player. Mm-hmm. Passion is part of his game. Now, did it overspill a little bit? Sure. Travis Kelce and Eric Bieniemy almost got into a fist fight on the sideline. Those guys managed to win championships together.
Right.
I've seen Bill Cowher get into people's faces and threaten to punch him on the sideline. Bill Cowher won championships. Football is a passionate and emotional game, and if you confuse that with somehow being a bad teammate or a bad player, you're going to make decisions that are going to hurt your football team.
No doubt.
Andy Reid clearly being cool and calm in the moment made a great decision to keep Travis Kelce in the game, yeah. Not punish him in some way.
Yeah.
And now the Chiefs have hoisted their second consecutive Lombardi Trophy.
And they may hoist another one to make it back-to-back-to-back if you're not careful, because sleep on that own team at your own risk. If 2023 did not tell you anything, that should tell you something. Will Kepley, the booted tanker, hit us on Twitter, Coleman ESPN, and at Chad Brown 94, saying, when you see Andy Reid, you see the love players have him. I've also seen that in the U.S. Army, the number of leaders I worked for and with. The good leaders get it. With their organization, they are charged to lead. Will Kepley, well said, well said. He is Chad Brown. I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us. In for Mike Greenberg on Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. And this one word with only three letters is always, always true. When you determine a quarterback's success in the NFL, especially with the NFL draft 2 days away. We'll get to that word next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
Thanks for being a part of Greeny on ESPN Radio. You got Chad Brown, that's him. Freddie Coleman, that's me. In front of Mike Greenberg, presented by Progressive Insurance. Thanks for joining us on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget, tune in and always tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. The word you hear that you should hear more about the NFL draft is a three-letter word called fit, especially when it comes to quarterbacks more than ever before. Not just what happened or did not happen with Zach Wilson, no longer New York Jet, going to Denver Broncos, but maybe the other team in New York, Chad Brown, when it comes to the New York Giants. According to Jordan Renan, ESPN Giants reporter, the Giants are at least looking to trade up from number six, and the belief they're looking to trade up for North Carolina quarterback Drake May. That has Patriots Giants being, I now pronounce you, lawful wedded partners to trade positions in the NFL draft. Will you take this quarterback to be your loving husband for the years to replace Daniel Jones? Yes, we do. And the Patriots have to play that whole thing. I said the Patriots. That could be the most likely team because I don't believe Chad Brown. They want to take a quarterback at number three.
Wow. You really don't think so, huh?
I don't think so.
You don't think that the Kraft family looks at this last couple of years and needs to give their fan base some kind of hopefulness for the future? And here's our possible future franchise quarterback. We got our new coach. We've got our new quarterback. Mm-hmm. Here's a nice little package to present to the fans. Mm-hmm. This is the future. This is what you can put your and rest your hopes upon.
Yeah. Here's why I don't believe they want to take a quarterback at three. They want to take a quarterback, but not at number three. I think they want to trade back and take a J.J. McCarthy, who's going to be there at number six, and somebody doesn't vault above them at number five. And even if that doesn't happen, I could see that team trading back in the draft and taking somebody like a Michael Penix Jr. or a Bo Nix. I don't think they're sold on taking anybody at number three that could be for the future of this franchise. They got Jacoby Brissett as a bridge quarterback for this year, and we know what a capable backup and a spot starter that he's been, and he knows the Patriot way, the Patriot system. But just because Bill Belichick is not part of this organization anymore doesn't mean that the Belichickness left with him out of that door when he decided to be moved on from the Patriots. I could see this team taking a quarterback, but they don't want to take a quarterback at number three.
I can see that. I can see that. Now, they certainly have presented themselves as, you know, they're open to possibilities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think every GM would say that this time of the year. But if, you know, pressed with that question, are you open to that? Of course they are.
Yeah.
So I think the I'm not sure if the writing's on the wall, but I think the feeling is that this team needs more than just a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, for them to trade down, get a quarterback and some other pieces, that would be a better situation for them, because if they were to get the guy this year, there's still so many other pieces they need to add to make themselves a consistent playoff team.
And that's why I use the word fit when it comes to quarterback. Maybe a J.J. McCarthy fits better for the Patriots than what a Drake May could do. Maybe Drake May fits better for the New York Giants than the guy they have right now. And I give Daniel Jones a lot of credit because you know he's heard the smoke swirling around him that, dude, we had Last Dance 4 years, 3 years ago with Michael Jordan, those guys. This is going to be your last dance for you with the New York Giants. He said, hey, I still believe I'm the guy. But if the Giants don't believe it, and I said before the draft, what the Giants do at number six will tell you exactly the thing about Daniel Jones. If they decide to take a wide receiver at number six, if a Malik Nabers, who I think is going to be there at LSU, then that's the way of telling Daniel Jones, we got you another weapon. No more excuses. We believe in you, but go get this done. If they're thinking about trading up, and they find a willing trade partner with the New England Patriots at number three, they're letting Daniel Jones know, no matter what you do in 2024, short of taking us to a Super Bowl and winning it, you are not going to be the Giants quarterback in 2025.
I think for the offensive-minded head coaches versus defensive-minded head coaches, I think the offensive-minded head coaches have a specific player in mind, Brian Daboll. Now, I know he stepped back from play calling, but obviously he has a tremendous influence upon the offense with the New York Giants. Being a longtime coordinator in the league, called plays with the University of Alabama when they won a national championship. He was wide receivers coach when I was in New England. Certainly, I think he views the game through that lens.
Yep.
And the quarterback is going to be critical for him. And I think when you start to look at quarterbacks, you find one that you like who you think can best execute your system versus Jerod Mayo for the Patriots, who as a defensive-minded guy, I don't think he's going to be as slavish to a particular quarterback. He wants a quarterback who can execute all the fundamentals of being a good NFL quarterback.
Right.
But as far as it has to be this guy, I don't think Jerod Mayo's necessarily got a dog in that fight versus Brian Daboll, who's clearly going to have a preference in that situation.
And here's something else to what you just said. By the way, Chad Brown, Freddie Coleman, and for Mike Greenberg today and Greeny on ESPN Radio. Speaking of Drake May, he's going to be on Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, and Michelle Smallman tomorrow at 8:35. That's 8:35 in the morning, 5:35 in the West Coast. Another quarterback that could go in the first round, Bo Nix out of Oregon. He'll be on Carlin versus Joe today at 12:30 Eastern Time. To the point that you just mentioned regarding having your guy, Brian Daboll did not draft Daniel Jones. Joe Shane, as a general manager, did not draft Daniel Jones. They don't have to be beholden to a guy, no matter what money they decide to give him, guaranteed, over Saquon Barkley. That doesn't mean that they were sold. They probably decided, in my opinion, Chad, we're going to go for a guy because he's the only one available that we have right now, and there's nobody else out there compared to Daniel Jones.
Brian Daboll's not going to be happy with Daniel Jones. So Brian Daboll's not a happy guy anyway most of the time. So mm-hmm. Daniel Jones, it's over. It's over in New York with the Giants for Daniel Jones. That's all there is to it.
No doubt about that. Jordan Bernard, Giants reporter, ESPN Giants reporter, reporting the Giants are at least looking to trade up in the belief they're trading up for UNC quarterback Drake May. We'll do this again tomorrow. We're going to be in for Mike Greenberg on Green and ESPN Radio. He's Chad Brown and Freddie Coleman. Carlin versus Joe comes your way next. This is Greeny on the mighty ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.